You're listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Good afternoon. This is Doug Gefeller with you once again, and hopefully for the whole show. I have been struggling with losing my voice the last couple days. It seems to have come back today, so I'm hoping I'm going to make it through the whole show. But hey, we've got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about last week's coaching conference, Conversations Among Masters. If you're listening to the show live, then you're on octalkradio.net, someplace in the world. And if you'd like to participate in the discussion, be sure to call in with your questions and comments. This is Talk Radio, so you can reach us at 949-713-6443. Or 949-713-6447, and join me on the air. If you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Well, let's jump right into what we are talking about today. I apologize. We normally have a guest or guests on the show, but frankly, last week was so exciting, I wanted to share it with you myself. As you know, the Coaching Perspective radio show is really aimed at sharing what coaches, HR professionals, and CEOs are doing today to make a difference with their constituents and companies. And our goal is to introduce you to new ideas and resources by interviewing these top thought leaders in these fields. You know, we believe that a stronger alliance between coaching or coaches and the C-suite executives and HR executives will provide a happier, more productive workplace. So that's our goal. With that said, let's talk about Conversation Among Masters. This is an annual conference for coaches. And when I say for coaches, it is an invitation by only conference, and it is for master coaches. This is the sixth year that they have been holding the conference. It was in San Antonio, Texas this year. Good time of year to be there, beautiful, and a great time down along the river walk and seeing the sights of San Antonio. The title of the conference should give you kind of a tip as to what it's all about, Conversations Among Masters. This was my first year that I was able to attend it. I've been asked to attend and had scheduling conflicts and just never made it before. But boy, I'm going to make sure that never happens again. I certainly got a lot out of this. The goal of this conference is to have conversations. In other words, their premise is that they have invited master coaches, and while there are presenters, or in a bit more accurate term, facilitators on the stage, that really anybody in the audience could be on the stage, could be a facilitator to start the conversation or participate in the conversation, because everyone there has a tremendous amount of experience and knowledge, whether they're certified or not certified. They certainly have earned the right to consider themselves as master coaches, as having mastered the art of coaching. It was kind of interesting. One of the handouts when you first arrived at the conference gave you three definitions of conversation. One was debate, the idea to fight, quarrel, dispute, or contend, a closed-minded attitude and determination to refute arguments and be right, possible stalemate, yet possible growth. This was certainly not what was intended to happen at the conference, was to have debates. The second definition they shared was that of discussion. The idea of wanting your view to prevail, that decisions are made and new actions can emerge as a result of this kind of dialogue. Again, this was not the goal of the conference. It was not to have discussion where people were advocating a position. What they proposed was that the objective of the conference was dialogue, meaning it to move through, to move, though as in a free flow of meaning, to be grounded in reflection and inquiry skills, a good foundation for discussion or exploration. And that is certainly what this conference lived up to. It lived up to its billing in terms of providing an opportunity for absolutely mind-blowing, mind-expanding, inspirational conversation among master coaches. You know, one of the things, just as a side for me, that I just had to kind of keep pinching myself during the conference is not only in the meetings, but in between the meetings, grabbing coffee or having lunch or breakfast or dinner with the people that were in attendance, I was just amazed to sit at the table and to look around and realize that in my 18-year career of coaching, I have never been in a situation where I was surrounded with so much knowledge and experience in the coaching field. Not to say that I haven't been with some master coaches, but the idea of sitting at a table with 10 master coaches was truly a unique and unusual circumstance. So how did they go about setting up this conference and really looking to achieve their objective? Well, first, the conference was for, as we said, it was for master coaches. So what was the format of the conference? It was a three-day conference, and each day there was a key or only one facilitator. Now, right away, that makes you start to wonder, one speaker all day? I mean, most conferences that I've gone to, you've had five, six, or more speakers for a day. Many times there were two or three speakers making presentations at the same time, and you had to pick which breakout room that you moved to. But the idea here was that they organized this around three keynote facilitators, as they called it, who would do a minimum of presentation and a maximum of facilitation to get the audience involved in the topic that they were going to introduce for discussion, with the idea that the person at the front of the room didn't possess all of the knowledge, that there was a lot of knowledge sitting in the back row, sitting in the middle row, sitting in the front row. There was a lot of knowledge off the stage that needed an opportunity to be heard, that would benefit everyone there if it could be brought out and discussed and looked at and questioned as to whether it had application for what each of us was doing in our individual coaching business. So let me just give you a rundown. The three speakers were Werner Erhard, Robert Richman, and Jim Selman. Werner Erhard, if you're going, that name sounds familiar. Let me just throw out the term EST. Those of you who were around in the 60s and early 70s will remember EST. It was the hot thing to do. And Werner was the father of the EST movement. He is the original thinker. His ideas transformed the effectiveness and quality of life for millions of people, thousands of organizations, through his original S training. Later on, as he modified it, became called the Forum. And that really has become the source of new perspectives by many thinkers and practitioners in fields such as business, education, philosophy, medicine, psychotherapy, and it goes on and on and on. He has, ever since that time, lectured wisely, served as a consultant to corporations, foundations, and government agencies. He was acknowledged in Forbes magazine's 40th anniversary issue as one of the major contributors to modern management thinking, and is a recipient of the Mahatma Gandhi Humanitarian Award. Boy, is that hard to say when your voice is going out. Anyhow, Werner, I remember from having experienced some S training myself. I recognized the name, remembered Werner. But what he talked about today was a much more refined version, a much more usable version, I found, of sort of the basic philosophy. And again, let me just qualify in terms of our discussion for this show. I can't begin to tell you what these speakers said. I can only share with you my perception of what was important, of what I walked away with, and what I remembered. And along those lines, let me just stop for a second and share with you an experience that, for me, shaped the whole conference. When Werner started to speak, before he spoke, the organizer of the conference indicated that he had asked that no one record his presentation. It was understandable. Didn't have a problem with that whatsoever at all. So Werner started to speak, and as is my habit, I whipped out my iPad and immediately started typing in my notes of what I thought was critical that I wanted to take away and share with other people from his presentation. He had only been talking for a few minutes when one of the room monitors came up and tapped me on the shoulder, tapped the person next to me on the shoulder, and said, "You're going to have to put your iPads away. They're not allowed." Well, I didn't quite understand that. I wasn't recording anything. I didn't have on the recording feature. I was just using it for note taking. But, the conference had just started. Everybody was really listening to what Werner had to say. I didn't want to make a scene, so I closed up my iPad and put it away and tried to get myself reconciled to being back in the mode of learning, because what had just happened was my crutch for every conference I've ever been to was taken away from me. I've always prided myself on my note-taking because for the last 18 years I have been running CEO executive groups. And when I go to a conference or read a book or sit in a seminar, I'm always taking notes so that I can bring back and share that information with the CEOs that are in the groups that I facilitate. So there I was, knowing that my memory is not going to be able to remember everything that went on. What am I going to do? What am I going to take back and share? Well, two things occurred to me. One is, I recently moved out of the practice of running CEO forums, so I didn't have to worry about that. That was a first. I didn't realize that until that particular experience just happened. The other was I decided right then that I could either be upset about not having my normal way of participating in a conference, or I could decide that what I was going to do was treat the rest of the conference in terms of what is it that's being said that's important to me that I'm going to take away and use right away and not worry about documenting for other groups, for this radio show, or for anything else. You know what? I discovered that gave me a whole new perspective on attending conferences. There was in some ways a tremendous relief for the next 3 days of not having to document and record and pick out the key elements so that I could parrot them back to other people. Now, I did have the advantage that I knew each of the speakers I was going to listen to has been very prolific and written a number of books, and that I can go out and I can buy their latest book. And while it may not be exactly the same as the conference, it's probably going to give me the latest thinking, and it's probably going to trigger my memory, and I have done that. I have sat down and ordered some of the books from the speakers so that I can read through those, and it will trigger my memory of what were the key points. But I released myself to sit there and really look for what is it that he's saying that will have meaning to me that I can apply immediately. And that proved to be a fascinating dialogue. Now, I will say that Werner, because of his style, deviated a little bit. In fact, a number of the people were a little concerned at the end of the first day because they felt that there was more presentation and less dialogue than they would have liked. I'll get back to that in a minute because it did turn out just great. But the initial reaction was we came here for conversation, and what we got was, while it was a phenomenal lecture, we got a lecture. We got information and data presented to us. Well, in terms of the data that was presented, you know, what did it mean to me? You know, for one, it meant a few moments of embarrassment, because when Werner wanted to make a point, he asked for volunteers, and the people sitting behind me pushed me to the stage, and I volunteered to participate with him in an exercise that was basically geared to make you realize that for most of us, what we're focused on when we're having a conversation is we're focused on ourselves. How are we coming across? What are we saying? Is our point being heard? And occasionally, those of us maybe, or those of you who've been trained in coaching or trained in listening, we may shift that emphasis away from ourselves to the other person or the other people in the room, and focus on them, so that we're not only listening to what we have to say, but we're listening to what they have to say, where they are in the conversation, what they're getting out of it, and what we should take away from what they're saying. What I took away from what Werner was saying was that the focus needs to be much broader than that, that we need to look at where we are in the universe, whether that be in this room, in this radio studio, in the auditorium that I was in the day that we were listening to him. But we need to shift and be aware of the total environment and react to and include in and be sensitive to everything that's going on in that environment, not just what we're saying, not just what the other person is saying, but what's going on there. You know, and for me, what had just happened in terms of having my note-taking ability taken away from me, this made a huge difference. You know, it suddenly dawned on me that if I'm meeting my friend for coffee, and we're at Starbucks, and I sit down and you join me, I don't whip out my iPad to take notes on what we're talking about. I have got my focus on you. I'm listening, and I'm going to remember what's really important because my focus is on you. And my focus is on what are we talking about now, how does that apply to now, and how can I use that? And that speaks to what we've so often heard and referred to as being present, be in the moment, dancing in the moment, being totally in the conversation for what's going on now, not for what happened in the past and not for what's going to be happening in the future. So that was truly a great source for me. Some other things that happened that first day, you know, I did find a new book. Those of you in the coaching field are going to want to get a hold of this. Vicky Brock, if I've got that right, has a book that's about to be published. It's the Source Book of Coaching History. This is a huge book that has been years in the making and has really captured the total history of the coaching profession. I can't wait for it to come out. I'll be looking for that. I also learned, I wasn't aware of it, there is a library of professional coaching online. You can look that up. You can Google that. Some great resources, great opportunities to discover things there. Well, let's take a quick look at the second speaker. Day two was Jim Selman. He's the founder of Paracom Partners International, recognized leader and authority in the field of organizational transformation and cultural changes. You know, he's been at this for over 35 years. He was one of the pioneers of organizational and management practitioners. He identified the need for manifesting organizational change, identifying the leverage points for leaders and managers to generate change, and worked on developing a technology for accelerating the pace of change. So Jim is truly a change agent and really can proudly hold that title, and was able to talk about change. You know, he is also, well, let me just say. So he talked about change and about how we deal with change and what we're going to do with it. But what really stuck with me is he had us participate in an exercise looking at what he calls the elders. And again, I wasn't taking notes, but he presented all kinds of documentation about the aging, the change in the demographics of our population, the impact that it's going to have on everything from Social Security to our health systems. He talked about the fact that the biases that exist in our society, that, you know, the comment that 65 or 70 is the new 40 or 80 is the new 40, basically saying that people today at a much older age are comparable to people that were basically half their age just 20 years ago. And he talked about really what needs to be done to really embrace not only your own aging, whatever age you are, but also to embrace how you handle the people that are aging around you and what you are doing to treat them with the respect and uncover the biases that we all have. No matter how we try to get around it, we daily are looking at that. And he actually conducted a ceremony inducting the audience into the elder community, regardless. And the audience had a vast age difference, so not, this is not an audience of everybody with gray hair. But he conducted an eldering ceremony where he talked about key elements of aging and exposed the myths and misconceptions about each of those areas, and asked each person to take a pledge to not fall into those traps and to approach it with an open mind. So he looked at the area of health, the fact that just because you're elderly doesn't mean, or aging doesn't mean, you have poor health. He talked about the area of happiness, the idea that we can be as happy as we are older as we were when we were younger, the idea that so many people, as they get older, have bought into the myth that their life is over and the best parts of it have passed. He talked about the area of self-expression. One of the most devastating penalties of aging is the loss of self-image, the loss of being valued, which he talked about, the loss of expressing who you are in terms of what you do. And again, you know, we all have seen these examples of people who have, because of their aging, lost their job. And in this last 4 years, maybe it had nothing to do with aging, but they lost their job. And by not being able to their career, they, in fact, lost their own self-image. They lost their sense of value, their sense of being, of who they are. And he talked about that. He talked about love and the fact that, again, as people age, many times couples are aging at different rates and are not always together. And then does that mean there's no more love left in their life? Does that mean, or are they not free for a new love, for a new relationship? So it was really, I don't know how to express it other than to say that he talked about this in the afternoon, and I'll tell you, the audience was spellbound in terms of the accurate way in which he called out our preconceived ideas of aging, gently called them out, and encouraged us to adopt new attitudes around these areas. He is working on a book in that area, so that's Jim Selman, and I would encourage you to keep your eyes out for it. I'm sure it is going to be a landmark document that we're all going to want to get a hold of and read. Well, that was the Thursday conference, and the second of the three speakers, the third speaker, the last day, was from Zappos. Now, I have to admit here that I was not looking forward to this speaker with as much anticipation as I had looked at the other two speakers. And the reason being that I just recently, at the beginning of the year, had had the privilege of, through Renaissance Executive Forums, of acquiring information from Zappo, of participating in interviews with Zappo's CEO, and of doing some training of CEOs on the topic of happiness, one of Zappos's big mantras. So there I was sitting, you know, been a great 2 days. Day three, I've heard it, been there, done it. It's not going to do it for me. Well, boy, was I wrong. The speaker was Robert Richman, or Robbie as he likes to be called. He's the product manager, and boy, that is a misnomer, a misleading title, the product manager of Zappos Insights. Now, Insights is the Zappo business that goes into corporations and helps them identify what their culture is and how to modify it for and create a more productive culture, end up with a happier, more empowered workforce, and in fact, increase productivity. Besides working with Zappos, it was very interesting in that Robbie had, prior to that, been a coach, which was kind of fun. He knew the audience that he was talking to. He'd been an entrepreneur, created his own businesses. He had been very involved before at Zappos in developing the digital marketing strategies for people like Tony Robbins and Sony and some best-selling authors. He was a Georgetown-trained leadership coach and had delivers keynote speeches and so forth. So there's Robbie's criteria or credentials. Certainly qualified to talk about this, but what really qualified him to talk about this topic was his passion for this topic. And, you know, it was sort of like the first day with Werner. The audience was a little restless in that there was a little more presenting than they wanted. The second day with Jim, the format changed a little bit. There was a lot more dialogue and conversation going on, and people started to get more comfortable because they were able to participate more. And then day three, when Robbie came on, all of a sudden it broke out into a conversation with him and 175 other people. You know, he did something that I had to either sit there in the audience as a facilitator and say, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen a facilitator do, or this is the bravest facilitator I've ever seen in my life. He had presented for about 2 hours and presented a lot of great information on Zappos and their culture and what culture means and what to do about it. And then he stopped his presentation and he said, before I go any further, we're going to take a break in a few minutes. I want to ask you, the audience, am I talking about what you want me to talk about? Well, you know, you don't ask 175 coaches what they want because you get 175 answers. You talk about herding cats. And so he solicited from the audience their comments. And the comments, I'm going, what is he going to do with this now? Because they ranged across the board, everything from keep presenting to get off the stage and let us talk among ourselves. He said, okay, I hear you. I'm going to summarize it. I'm going to work on it during the break. Take your break. Go have coffee, and we're going to come back. And then he came back. And before I tell you what he said when he came back, my producer's saying, let's take a commercial break, which will give me a chance to rest my voice here for a second. So I'll be back and tell you what Robbie had to say in just a minute.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Can we talk about your family business? You know, that thing you put your whole life's blood, sweat, and tears into? Well, what happens when you retire or try and pass that business on to your children? At Succession Strategies, we can help you find the answers. We'll guide you through the unsettling process of protecting your family legacy and successfully passing your business on to the next generation, safely and securely, ensuring that it'll both survive and thrive for generations to come. So ask yourself just one question. Can I really afford to wait? Take the first step. Take our complimentary self-assessment at successionstrategies.com or call us at 714-560-9022 to set up a free consultation at your convenience. That's succession-strategies.com. Succession-strategies.com. Succession planning for your family's continued success.
OCTalkRadio.net.
Okay, we're back. This is Doug Gefeller. If you're just joining us for the Coaching Perspective Hour, I've been coaching executives and business owners for 18 years here in Orange County, California, or actually all throughout Southern California, all under the banner of the Coaching Perspective. And my key goal is to help create more effective teams. We work with both existing and new management teams and project teams, primarily with small and mid-sized companies. We like to work with the CEO and the CEO's direct reports, where in all cases our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and each individual team member. We also offer individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level position, coaching for people who want to sharpen their business skills, and communication workshops. I'm a master certified coach, past president of the Orange County chapter of the International Coaching Federation. So that's who you're listening to. Well, we're talking about CAM 2012, Conversations Among Masters, and I'm recapping for you what went on. We're just talking about the presentation by Robbie Richmond from Zappos, who stopped his presentation in the middle and said, "What do you want?" He came back and said, "What I hear the audience asking for is two things, generally." He said, "You're asking it in a lot of different ways, but it boils down to two things. Half of you are asking for more information so you know how to do this, how to go into a company, identify its culture, and then change the culture. The other half of you are asking for an opportunity to experience what would it be like to be involved in a situation where we were evaluating a culture and then working to change it?" He said, "So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick one of those two, and I'm going to give you the experience this afternoon rather than the how-to." Now, he then took us through a number of steps where the audience broke into work groups and we participated in exercises to identify what was the culture that we each were currently working in, what was good about it, what was frustrating about our current culture, what was going well in our culture, an exercise to look at what is possible if there were no restrictions. What is possible in the culture, the environment that we would like to be working in? And then, you know, a key question: what are you willing to commit to do now? What is it that you're really willing to change and do now that you've identified what's frustrating, what's good, what's possible, What is it? What is the level of commitment that you're willing to make to change or to acquire this new culture? You know, he used the example, and in fact, I think all three of the speakers used this example of the fact that, you know, think of your actions in life here as if it was a sporting event. You have one of three places that you can be in this sporting event. You can be sitting in the stands where you have an excellent picture of what is going on, but you're not involved in it. You can be, if you're not in the stands, you can be an observer. You can be the referee, and you can be involved in helping monitor the game. Or you can be on the court and be one of those who are active in the event itself. His point was, where do you want to be on this? You know, do you want to be the observer? Do you want to be the referee? Or do you want to be in the game? And it is very hard from any one of those positions to see the other two entities' position. So Werner talked about the ability to step back and see life from all three positions before you take an action. Jim Selman talked about the willingness to make changes, to modify, once you see what's going on, once you see where you're going, to take actions. And Robbie talked about Zappos's concept about, now that you've identified this, you can make a change. Are you willing to commit, and are you willing to make a change? And you know what? That was just a phenomenal way to sort of wind up the conference. People walked away feeling like, you know, I might have been a little frustrated the first day that there was too much lecturing. I was a lot more comfortable the second day that I got to participate more. Man, the third day was phenomenal in that we had a lot of interaction. And you know what? The third day couldn't have existed if it hadn't been set up by the first day. So where are we in all of this? Well, all I can say is it was a tremendous learning opportunity for me. The takeaways for those of you who may be listening is there is a lot to learn. Of course, Werner is the renowned expert in the field. Selman has some fascinating new concepts. Really would encourage you to look into his writings on the elderly. And Zappos's program, Robbie Richman explained to us, their insights program in terms of evaluating the culture that you're working in and then working to change it is just phenomenal. Now, before I wrap this up, I have one more story to share with you because, you know, you always kind of wonder, okay, I went to this conference, I get back home and my wife says, oh, you've been gone, I missed you. So what did you get out of it that was worth the fact that we were separated here for 4 days? And you go, let's see. What did I get out of it? God, I'm just exhausted from the plane ride. Let me tell you tomorrow. You know, and then you stop to think about it. You know, for me, it turned out kind of easy. I was back 2 days, and I had a client ask me. He said, would you come with me? I'm looking at a new business venture, or I'm looking at working with a company that is looking to come into Orange County, and we're trying to identify whether there's a role that I can play in their bringing their service to Orange County and making it bigger here. He said, so I'm going to go up. I've had some preliminary conversations. I'm going to go meet with the CEO up in L.A. And, as my coach, would you come along and help with the dialogue so that there's two of us listening and that I get a clear picture of how these people really operate and where I might fit into this? And I said, great. Sounds like a lot of fun. And we got in the car and we struggled through the freeway and we got up to L.A. and we arrived at their offices. And immediately I sensed that being the astute observer that I am of my surroundings, that something was different because everybody in the office was wearing a special T-shirt, a company T-shirt. And when we walked in, they said, what size shirt do you wear, Doug? And here's a shirt that'll fit you. You can go in the back and change into this shirt. And by the way, the CEO is a little under the weather and isn't going to be joining us until this afternoon. And I'm thinking, so what are we going to do now? Well, we're going to go now. We're going to break into teams, and we're going to go out and do what this company does. Now, the company is Every Monday Matters, and they've been on the radio show. Matt has been on the radio show. They have a phenomenal program for businesses and for educational educators and educational institutions in terms of helping you identify what your employees can do every Monday to make a difference in the community. And they've got this program that lays out the activities for 52 Mondays. It is not only a giving back or participating in the community, but it is a phenomenal team-building opportunity for your employees to work together in a slightly different environment than they normally work in. So that's the background. So they say, okay, so we're breaking into two teams. Doug, the group you're with is going to the St. Francis Center down on Skid Row, and you're going to help them there with their food distribution issues. Yeah, there I am. In my best slacks, my newest shoes, and their company T-shirt, and I'm going to go down and work on the food line in Skid Row. This does not sound like what I signed up for today. But, hey, that's the way it turned out. So, okay, so today's a wasted day for the business purpose. I can chalk it off as a community service day. I don't do enough of those. And change my attitude, and I'm looking forward to this. So we get in the car, and we drive down to Skid Row, and in the process, I get to meet the people from Every Monday Matters that are on this my team. And, boy, they are a phenomenal group of people, and we talk about the other team that we're not with, but you learn a little bit about them. And we get to the St. Francis Center, and we meet this bright young man who is spending a year of internship helping them out there. Doing just a great job, Michael Fee, and he gives us a rundown and a tour through the facility, and then starts to break us up into teams so that we can work on some things, you know. So, guess what team I to be on for my high powered day? They are making bean soup today or tomorrow. I forget which day it was. And they want to make sure that none of the beans are of inferior quality in the bean soup. So I'm given, my team is given, 2 50-pound sacks of beans that we break open and we sort through to pick out the half beans or the defective beans or the rocks that have gotten in with the beans and sort out the beans so that the good, clean beans can be ready to go into the soup. Well, we did some other things, but, you know, it was certainly a different day than what I'd been expecting, and we wrap it up, and it was kind of inspirational to feel like we were helping and to see what these people are doing and to see the good work that the St. Francis Center is really doing down there in terms of feeding people in their community, and I'm not going to go into that whole story, but it certainly is inspirational. And we go back to their office, we have a little recap of what each team did so that we know what each other did and what did we get out of it. And, you know, it actually gets a little emotional about how much we got out of it and, you know, the impact on the community and the need in the community and that we're not doing enough. And, you know, so we wrap all that up. We get in the car and we're on the way home. And my coaching client and I are talking about it and we're going, well, that certainly wasn't what we expected the day to be. But, hey, what was good about the day? Hey, wasn't that a phenomenal group of people? And as we're talking, we realize that phenomenal is an understatement. This team that Matt has put together was truly impressive. Now, what was impressive about them was their commitment to what the company does, the passion they have for community service, the passion they have for what's involved. And as we're talking about them, all of a sudden the light bulb goes off, and I'm reminded of what Robbie Richmond said at the CAM conference. Do you want the experience or do you want to know how? And I realize that what Matt has done in terms of hiring people, and I'll have to ask him this, but what I think he has done is, my guess is that when he hires people, he's not spending his time interviewing them for their skills. That what he's doing is what he did to us. He is exposing them to what the business does to see if they buy into the why, to see if they have a passion for what the business is about. Can you imagine if you only hired people, if you only worked with people that had the same passion that you have about your business? Once you've identified that you're alike in that way, then it's pretty easy to sort out and figure out what tasks you do best and which tasks I do best. And we can now divvy up and create job descriptions and roles for us to run this organization. But if we don't have the same passion for the why, if we don't feel strong about what the company does, what's going to be the level of commitment? You know, and to me, in a lot of ways, this is what Robbie was saying about Zappos. Zappos isn't about, when you watch their film clips or read their culture books, Zappos isn't about the ability to dress however you want. Zappos isn't about the ability to have a party at the drop of a hat. It isn't about the ability to decorate your cubicle any way you'd like to decorate your cubicle. Zappos is about the fact that they have collected a group of people that are passionate about customer service. And that's what the company's about, whether it is taking orders for shoes or other items, or whether it is going out and working on company culture for other businesses. The people at Zappos are passionate about customer service. The people at Every Monday Matters are passionate about helping people who aren't as fortunate. You know, what would your business look like if you surrounded yourself with people who had the same why as you, people who were passionate about the same thing that you're passionate about? Well, you know, it was a great way to wrap up a 3-day conference by having a life example. And if you're listening, Matt, I want to thank you and your people for a great lesson that I really learned, that really helped reinforce the theory that I heard at the CAM conference by you making it a living, breathing thing. And a special thanks out there to Nancy and Tony and Pinky and the rest of the group who allowed me to participate with them in their day of service. Well, that wraps up our coaching for today. You know, I hope you're going to be with us next Thursday. We'll go back to our standard format and have a guest. If you if you're not on our mailing list and getting our email every Wednesday letting you know who's going to be the guest on Thursday, just go to our website, www.thecoachingperspective.com. Look for the radio show, and you can follow the information there, and we'll get on your get you on the distribution list, or you can always just drop me an email at doug@thecoachingperspective.com. So thank you very much for joining us today. I hope you've enjoyed the show and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals.
You've been listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.